Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. And we've been in a series, quite a long series. It's been an amazing series. And if you haven't heard any of the episodes before this one on resurrection, you want to go back, you want to listen to them. In fact, I go back and I listen to them while I'm driving in the car. And I get so excited because I sense the presence of the Lord. I sense the anointing on the word. I know that this is a word that's coming from heaven, and we're going to walk in it. We're going to move in it. There's a lot to be said about this topic, this revelation of resurrection power. So let's get into this episode, and let me open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is a prophetic word that's coming from the throne of God. We believe in the season that we live in that the word is resurrection. So, Father, right now we thank you for the anointing upon the word. We receive it, and we walk in it, and we speak it, and we act in it, and we thank you for the blessing of God in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, today, we're going to look at resurrection is a sign. Yeah, I don't know if you ever thought about that, but resurrection, you know, we've been looking at Abraham and offering Isaac, and we've been looking at the different examples where people were raised from the dead. And of course, we looked at Jesus. He was raised from the dead. And so today, we're gonna take a little bit different angle. It all ties together. But we're going to look at the power of resurrection as a sign. Now, when you look at something, Titus 1 and verse 3, Titus 1 verse 3, little scripture here, wonderful scripture. And it says this, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now, this is really powerful because you get some insight into Paul's preaching. And you just go very slowly. Who hath in due times, now watch this, manifested his word through preaching. And so, wow, when you link the word manifested and preaching together, boy, it really begins to paint such a picture that we got to go a little bit slow and look at and begin to go, oh my goodness, this is amazing. When Paul was going into these cities and synagogues or wherever he was, and he was preaching. Now, we also know, what was he preaching? He was preaching resurrection. The Bible says that his preaching manifested the word of God. So you have the word of God, you have manifestation, and you have preaching. So what we're doing is we're going to break it up here. Paul preached. You have the word of God, but then you have the manifestation of the word of God, meaning all of a sudden God's words, you could see them. You were looking at God's word in operation. Now, that's the purpose of signs and wonders. It's not just for the healing per se or the act of power, but it's so that God's word is manifest, so that people are looking at the word of God. And that's the truest purpose of the preaching of the word followed by signs and wonders, is so that people can see the word of God. And so I want you to think about that, because we need to be praying, okay, it's time for a greater release of manifestation. You mean manifestation of miracles? No, of the word. We want to see Jesus. And I tell you what, when you start to link this to him and not to actual healings or the miracles, things like that, I think it gives you a little stronger drive in prayer that, Lord, I want to see blind eyes open. Yes, to see blind eyes open, that's wonderful, but I want to see the word. I want to see Jesus right there in our midst. And so here is Paul. He's like, hey, Titus, when I was preaching, you saw all of this. It was written into their hearts. They could see it. Now, that's why we pray, God, open the eyes of my understanding, the eyes of my heart, so that I see something. And we call that revelation. The Lord, when he was walking on the road, two men walking towards Emmaus, they were talking about Jesus. They were talking to Jesus about Jesus, not realizing he was Jesus. And then he opened their eyes. And so what Paul is saying, listen, I took the word of God, I came in and I began to preach, and the Lord opened your eyes and was manifest to you. And so that's where we've got to be praying, increasing our praying, that these ministers and ministries going out, that when they preach and when they speak, that the word is manifest, that people actually see the Lord. And, there's so much here. Now, the Bible says in Acts 4:33 that with great power, these apostles were demonstrating resurrection, the signs and wonders. So let's just read there, Acts 4:33. I'm turning in my Bible, Acts 4:33. And if you have a Bible, you need to turn there too. Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, they were going out and preaching. It was the Lord manifesting his word. With what? Great power, what? Giving witness. Giving witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, meaning he's alive. And there are times you may not even declare resurrection. You just began to declare Jesus is alive, which means he had to be raised from the dead. But I want you to see this with great power and this manifestation where the eyes of people are seeing something. And that's what we're focusing on, the power of resurrection, so that the eyes of the hearts of people are seeing something. And let me tell you, that's the hour we live in. Let me tell you, when you look at the news and you see all of the turmoil in the nations and in Israel, well, there's a third group of people the Lord works with, and that's called the church. And the church has an answer. You know, when you watch the news, you look at the nations and their problems. You look at the Jews, Israel, and their problems. And really, it's the church. The church has the answer for both groups. Why? We're the body of the Mashiach. We're the body of Jesus. And we have this right here. With great power gave they witness of the resurrection, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Now, what we're getting to, we're building this foundation, is resurrection a sign? What we want to do is we want to go to Luke 11, Luke chapter 11. Now, this is, I don't know if you're ready. You want to put your seatbelt on because we're about ready to just take off here. Luke chapter 11. And verse 29. Now, we're going to read a little bit, but you got to get it. And when the people were gathered thick together, that means it was a big crowd and they were packed in. That's interesting, isn't it? In fact, I've never read the word thick. I've never read that wonderful little verse there. These guys were packed in like sardines. Have you ever been in a big crowd? Have you ever been in a big crowd that was just packed in? I mean, there have been times I've been in London with the cross, London in particular, where there's a lot of people. But then I've been in London where I was packed in, where literally I was walking with the cross and there were people touching my elbows, touching the cross. And I am literally thinking, God, get me out of this. This is, I mean, you couldn't move. All you could do is move forward with the crowd. And if I picked my feet up, I think they would have carried me. There have been a lot of times where I've been surrounded by multiplied thousands of people moving in a river that I had no control over. It was a thick crowd. We were packed in like sardines, right? So Jesus began to teach. He says, this is an evil generation. Now, remember, there's a big crowd and they're packed in. They are packed together and they're listening. This is an evil generation. They seek a sign. Now, that's interesting. They weren't seeking Jesus. They weren't seeking an answer. They were seeking a sign. And when you deal with people, there will be some people who will almost seem like they're on the same page as you, but actually in their heart, they're looking for something else. It looks similar to what you want, but it's not the same. They're seeking for some manifestation of something, and even when they get it, they'll be satisfied they got it, but they won't get Christ. Think about that. So you need to think about that when you're witnessing to people. What are these people really wanting? Jesus did that all the time. He knew the hearts of people, and he spoke in such a way to begin to address that heart. And, you know, we do need a prophetic anointing. I'm not talking about standing in church and, oh, I had a prophetic dream. And I'm not really talking about that. What I am talking about is that when you're talking to people, you come in on a wavelength and you start to talk to the heart. Now, I had a gentleman, a wonderful man. I'm not going to mention names, but very versed in evangelism. Used to work with the great T.L. Osborne, and just really, I mean, an evangelistic heart. I loved watching him witness to people. And but he said, Eric, I love watching you. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I've never seen someone quite like you. That wherever those people are, you find a way to go right into the heart and you have a conversation with their heart. And they begin to listen. He said, that's a unique gift. And so what I'm trying to say is that's kind of the prophet's anointing. What, that you're reading their mail? No. Don't always try to make the prophetic mantle some spooky, operation. Now, there are times in the prophetic anointing, it gets a little spooky. It's like, whoo, God is here. But when you can begin to talk to a man's heart, all of a sudden, the word of knowledge, you don't even know it's in operation. And you're talking and you're answering things. Or the word of wisdom, all of a sudden you're seeing into their future. And I've had this many times where when I pause and ask if I can pray, I'll just pray something. And I'm like, I'm in the future here in this person, and they're really quiet as they're listening. I don't try to make it spiritual, like, oh, I'm a prophet. Now you just heard a prophetic message. And I don't do that. The Lord doesn't need you to do that. Just be who you are. And let him speak when it's his time to speak. You don't have to make it some super spiritual thing. You are spiritual. You are supernatural. That's who you are. You don't have to all of a sudden start acting in a different way to show that this is now spiritual. I don't think that's how Jesus was. I don't think all of a sudden he got spooky. I think he was who he was. I think he walked in love. And I think he just went in and out of this realm, and it was normal. You got in there, and when he was in that flow of the Holy Spirit, you heard from God, but he wasn't acting spooky. It just was a flow. And you all of a sudden, if your ears were listening, and that's what he said, you got to have a hearing ear. Because with Jesus, I don't think he started doing prophetic dances just to get your attention to go, what I'm going to say next is prophetic. You better listen. He didn't do that. He just was in a flow. And all of a sudden, something would change in his heart and he'd start to speak on a deeper level and teach, right? And he says, you better have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, because I'm not going to go act spooky just to get your attention. I'm just going to speak. And while I'm speaking to you, you need to have ears that hear so you can understand what's being said. And so that really puts the weight upon us. And we like putting the weight on the prophet, but we really have the weight on us to hear from the Lord. And so he says, these people, they're seeking a sign. This is what will satisfy them. And the Greeks over there, they want, you know, wisdom. And there is a wisdom to this world, but it's not the wisdom from God that comes from above. And so, you know, and Paul had to confront that in Athens. What did he confront? What they wanted. They wanted wisdom, but they didn't want God. And there's a difference. Some people think if I get wisdom, I've got God. No, you don't have God. You don't have God until you seek God and love God. So they seek a sign, but there shall no sign be given it, but the sign, now watch this, I like it. He says, there's no sign going to be given. And he goes, but there is one sign. Now watch this, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up at the judgment with all the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Well, in order to get a good picture of this, let's go to the book of Jonah, and let's take a look at what is being said. And so, anyone who knows the story of Jonah, the Lord comes to Jonah and he speaks to him. Go to Nineveh. You are a Jew. Go to these people that you know somewhere into the future, they're going to wreak devastation upon your people. But that's in the future, and that's not where we are right now. And I'm commanding you to go and speak to them. Well, Jonah had a problem because he kind of knew what the future was concerning those Ninevites. They were a mean people. They were violent people. And so the Bible says he went down, bought a ticket, got into a boat, and went the opposite direction. And it says, from the presence of the Lord. So the word that the Lord had spoken to Jonah came with his presence, meaning his presence was on that word. And when Jonah decided not to go with the word, he decided not to go with the presence of the Lord. Well, you know the story. Super big storm comes, and that boat's going nowhere. There's a lot of people. You're running from God, and you've been doing it for a long time, and you think you're going to Spain, but you're not going to Spain. God has been holding you, and for the opportune time, you're going to come to know him. He's going to open the eyes of your heart, and you're going to see something. And so there's a lot of people, oh, I've gotten a long ways away from God, only to find out you got nowhere. You absolutely got nowhere. God is still God. He's held you in a place, and you think you've enjoyed life, but actually, it's not been anything of value. And then at the right time, bingo, he's going to reveal himself, and it's wonderful. Now, Chapter 2, Jonah, chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. He heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and he heard my voice. For you have cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All the billows in thy waves, they passed over me. Then said I am cast out of your sight, yet I'll look again towards your holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed around about me, and weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains and the earth with her bars. They were about me forever. Yet have you brought me up, my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto you into your holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now that's the key. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what this whole book is about. Salvation is of the Lord. And that's what this book is, moving in the saving power of God. The Lord spake to the fish. It vomited Jonah upon the dry land. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. This is chapter 3. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I have bid you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city 1 day's journey. He just began, and he began to preach. He began to cry and said, yet in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. For the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He laid down his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, they're all involved, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd, flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Now, what's happening? Jesus said, you're seeking a sign. And that's wrong. You should be seeking God. But I'll give you a sign. It's the sign of Jonah. This man who went to hell. Now, when you read Jonah, there is nuance in here, and it gives you a true flavor of a man that dies and goes to hell. Now, do I believe that Jonah actually died in the fish's belly? Well, I kind of lean that he didn't. I kind of lean towards that the operation of God's faith, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, preserved them, and God preserved Jonah in the belly of the whale. But the experience was like hell. It was every bit like hell for this man. He was in the complete darkness alone, and he was covered in the waters. And even to the point that his soul, this inner part of his being, his breath, where his emotions and his thoughts are completely engulfed in this experience. Now think about that. That's what happens in hell. In hell, people are totally engulfed in their thought, their life. And then, to fight it, he begins to pray. And then at the right point, at the right time, God speaks from heaven, and the fish vomits this guy out. When he comes out, I don't know what he looked like. He's been in the water, in a grave of water. He has been in stomach bile. I don't know what he looked like. I don't know what his hair looked like. I don't know what he smelled like. But I do know the weeds were wrapped around his body, around his head. He literally looked like Lazarus coming out of the tomb. When Jesus said, "Come out," Lazarus came out, but he was all bound up. I don't know how he was walking. His face was totally covered. How does he know the direction? I literally think that when the Lord said, "Come out," the power of that word brought him out. It was just the power and the force of those resurrection words literally took him up out of the grave and brought him out. Then they unbound him. It was the same with this Jonah. He was totally engulfed in this grave of stomach bile and water, and he gets thrown up out onto the beach, and he's wrapped in seaweed, wrapped in grave clothes, and literally it's a sign and a wonder. And this man, he walks into Nineveh. Like I said, this revelation power of God. Now remember, when the Lord spoke, "Go to Nineveh," it came with the presence of the Lord. Now this presence and this word is on this man who has been resurrected. He was dead, now he's alive. And now he's going into this extremely wicked city and he's bringing the word of the Lord. And it's such a big city, he could never do the work on his own. And all of a sudden, on day one, with the first message, this message shoots all the way up to the king, every noble, and they began to preach for him. I don't even know how much Jonah preached, because now the king and the nobles are all involved in the preaching, and this presence of God comes down upon Nineveh, and all of a sudden, they're repenting before God. And what Jesus is saying this, "Listen, guys, I'm going to be raised back to life. One greater than Jonah is here. One greater than the wisdom of Solomon is here. And the preaching is going to manifest who I am. And every one of those guys at Nineveh, when you stand before God, they will be standing there pointing their finger at you. They repented when a lesser preached to them. Now I am the greater. I'm going to die for your sins, go into the very pit, be raised back to life, and they're going to be your judge." Whew. Resurrection is a sign. When you go out and you begin to share resurrection power with people, and you begin to talk about Jesus raised from the dead, I want you to think about Jonah. I want you to think about this, because one greater than Jonah, I mean a whole city fell out when Jonah, a lesser, a rebellious prophet, he didn't care about the people of Nineveh, but he did obey. And in his obedience, the Lord gets the credit. But you and I have been entrusted with a message of one greater than Jonah, Jesus Christ, raised back to life on the third day. And he's the one we take and we share with people so that they would repent and they would believe. Some people you're going to talk to, they want signs. You got to confront it. Some people you talk to, they want wisdom. But others want Jesus, and they just need to hear. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this word, that you establish this word in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Now that's enough. Go to our website at www.4smiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.